Good morning, dear Sangha. Today is the 19th of November in the year 2009, and we are in the New Hamlet, Plum Village. As a practitioner, we should be able to produce a moment of peace, whatever we want. As a practitioner, we should be able to produce a moment of joy. We have to learn how to do it. As a practitioner, we should be able to produce a moment of happiness. And we should know to learn how to do it. The other day we talked about opportunities. In order to practice, we need opportunities. And we know that every breath is an opportunity. Every step we make is an opportunity. While you breathe in, you may choose to breathe in such a way that peace become possible, joy become possible, and happiness become possible. And when you make a step, you may choose how to make that step in such a way that peace become possible. Joy become possible. Happiness become possible. When you sit down, you may choose how to sit down in such a way that there is a stability, freedom, and peace. When I was ordained as a novice monk at the age of 16. My teacher told me how to sit down. Sitting down is an opportunity to practice. There are many ways to sit down. And we can sit down in such a way that make peace and happiness, solidity and freedom be possible. There is a short poem for the novice to learn by heart about sitting down. At that time, it was written in classical Chinese. The novice has to memorize that short poem in order to practice. I was given a book of poems like that to learn and memorize. And these poems are called gatha. Okay. Actually, it is a short a verse of four lines, and each line has five words. So each gatha has about 20 Chinese characters. It's easy to memorize. There is one gatha for you to use when you brush your teeth. And you may like to choose how to breathe your teeth in such a way that during the time of toothbrushing, you have peace, you have joy. And you memorize that gatha. So the brothers and sisters who are going to be ordained in 2 days, I am sure that they have memorized a few gathas. Right? When they open the water tap, they have one gatha in order to practice. There are 4 lines, and the first line is for your in-breath. The second line is for your out-breath. And the third line is for your in-breath, and the fourth line is for your out-breath. And after having done that, well, the novice would open the water tap and enjoy the water flowing. Water come from up on the mountain. Water come from down in the earth. Miraculously, water has come to me, and my gratitude for water is immense. That is a gatha that is available in English today. So the first line is for your in-breath. The second line is for your out-breath. And as a novice, you are supposed to use that gatha transmitted to you by your teacher in order to enjoy opening the water tap. When you recite the first line, water come from high up on the mountain. You breathe in, and you visualize the water coming from very far away, up in the mountains. And at the moment, you don't think of other things anymore. You don't think about the past. You don't think about the future. You don't make projects. You don't dream. You are truly there, and you get in touch really with the water, because it is the water that you want to get in touch with now. And you get in touch deeply with the water. In order to get in touch with something, you have to be there. You have to be there first to be fully present in order to get in touch with something. If you are not there, if you are dispersed, if you are caught in the past, in the future, who's there? Be there in order to get in touch. So the first in-breath is for you to bring your mind back to your body. And when your mind is with your body, you are fully present. You are fully alive in the here and the now. To make yourself available, to make yourself fully present. And that is the purpose of practicing the gatha. And for those of us who are used to the practice, one in-breath is enough to bring our mind back to our body and become fully present in the here and the now. And you have 4 lines. You have a chance to breathe in and then breathe out and then breathe in and breathe out. So you must be surely you will succeed in bringing you back to the here and the now in order to encounter the water. Water come from up high, up on the mountain. Water come from deep down on the earth. miraculously, water has come, is coming to me, and my gratitude for water is immense. And you appreciate the presence of the water. And when you put your fingers and receive the water flowing through it, you are truly there, and the water is truly there. And there is a real contact between you and water. And life, real life, is possible during the time. And happiness is possible, joy is possible. Because you know, because there is a background, there were times when there was no water. Water is cut. And you know that in the world, many people have to travel many kilometers in order to fetch some water. There's no running water in their home. And when we are aware of that, we appreciate water. So practicing that gata about opening the water tap can bring you happiness. And happiness is possible when you are there and when you get in touch, really in touch with what is there. Water is one of the wonders of life that are available. The air, the water, the earth, the trees, the cloud, many wonders of life are there, the sunshine. And in order to get in touch, you have to be there. And to be there is a practice. Because we may be used to living in forgetfulness. Our body is there, but our mind is not there. Our mind is caught in our worries, in our fear, in our anger, in the past, in the future, in our projects. Our mind is not available. There is a state of mindlessness, state of dispersion. Mind is not there with the body. And when the mind is not with the body, you are not really there. You are not really alive. So the practice of mindful breathing is, first of all, to bring the mind back to the body and to be established in the present moment. And when you are there, something else is there too. That's life with all the wonders. You make yourself available. And life will be available to you. And there is an encounter between you and life. As a novice, as a practitioner, when you are about to sit down, you know what to do. You begin using the gata for sitting down. You breathe in and you read the first line. Sitting here, sitting down here is like sitting under the Bodhi tree, my body erect, and my mind concentrated. And you breathe, you practice breathing and sitting down, and you sit like a Buddha. That is the way a Buddha sits. And it's possible for us to sit like a Buddha. And peace is possible. An toàn, sitting down peacefully. So in Buddhist circle, they invite a guest, and they say, "Mời bác an toàn, please. You are invited to sit down in peace, peacefully." Because the Buddha knows how to sit peacefully. And we, who consider ourselves as friends, disciples of the Buddha, we would like to do like him. We want to sit down peacefully, with peace. It is possible to sit peacefully. The Buddha is depicted by artists as sitting on a lotus flower. How can you sit on a lotus flower? But seeing the Buddha sitting on a lotus flower, we have got the feeling that he is sitting lightly, very fresh, very light, not overloaded with worries and fear and anger, very light, a lot of joy. And it is possible for a novice monk, for a lay practitioner to sit down like a Buddha and feel light, feel fresh, and feel free. You sit there and you really sit there. You are not elsewhere. You are dwelling in the present moment. Because you know how to practice mindful breathing in, mindful breathing out, in order to bring your mind back to your body. You know how to sit upright, how to allow your body to release the tension. So the novice, the practitioner is encouraged to memorize these gathas in order to practice. And when you sit down, you have an opportunity to practice. When you breathe in, you have an opportunity to practice. When you make a step, you have the opportunity to practice. You don't have to go to a practice center in order to begin to practice. You can practice right there, right here, right where you are, because we always have the opportunity to breathe in, or to make a step, or to sit down, or to brush our teeth. And that is a training. And when you live alone, it is more difficult because nobody reminds you. You may enjoy the practice for a few times and then you forget. But when you live in a sangha, a community where everyone is trying to do the same, then you are supported by the community, the collective energy in order for you to do that. It's become much easier to live in a community. When you put your dress on, there's another gatha for you to use. When you urinate, there is a gatha. When you defecate, there is also a gatha. And when I was a novice, there was no gata for you to ride a bicycle. At that time, monks did not ride a bicycle. It's too modern, too... And I was one of the monks in Vietnam, one of the first monks in Vietnam to ride a bicycle. So he wrote a gata for riding a bicycle. Later, he wrote another for boarding a plane. The first thing we get in touch with is our in-breath and out-breath. And with our mindful in-breath and out-breath, we come home to our body. We come home to our body. The first exercise on mindful breathing that the Buddha proposed is breathing in. I know I am breathing in. You pay attention to your in-breath. You go back to your in-breath first. You get in touch with your in-breath. And as soon as you get in touch with your in-breath, you become yourself. You recuperate yourself. So this is the first exercise. It's quite simple. It's easy also. But the power of that exercise is immense. Because when you pay attention to your in-breath and breathe in, you stop thinking about the past. You stop worrying about the future, because the object of your mind now is your in-breath. So you are focusing your attention on your in-breath. And you might discover that, I'm alive, because I'm breathing. Someone who is already dead do not breathe in, but I'm breathing in, it means I'm alive. And to be alive is the most wonderful thing. The greatest of all miracles. So just breathe in, you touch the fact that you are alive, and that can bring joy. So the first exercise of mindful breathing is to identify your in-breath as an in-breath. Breathing in, I know this is an in-breath. And you don't have to fight in order to do that. You just breathe normally. And you can enjoy too. Because breathing in can be something very enjoyable. Especially when the air is clean, fresh. You don't have to fight, to strive in order to breathe in. Just allow yourself to breathe in. What you do is to bring your attention to your in-breath. I know this is my in-breath. Recognizing your in-breath. Recognizing your out-breath. That first exercise can bring wonders, can bring already joy and enlightenment. To be aware that you are alive is already enlightenment. Because there are many people who live, who are there, but they don't know that they are alive. The French writer Albert Camus, in his novel, L'Étranger, and describe people as living like dead bodies. In Vif Kamdimo, they live like dead bodies because they don't know that they are alive. There's no awareness, mindfulness. In Vikam, I'm more. But when you breathe in, and you're aware that you are breathing in, you know that you are alive. You don't live like a dead body anymore. And as we breathe in mindfully, we look around. We see many people circulating around. They carry that body. They are not truly alive because they are not mindful. So the first exercise can generate energy of mindfulness that make a life real and possible. Just one small exercise. And the second exercise suggested by the Buddha is breathing in. I follow my in-breath from the beginning to the end. It means I am with my in-breath all the way through. My in-breath may last 3 or 4 seconds. I am fully with my in-breath during these 3 seconds. There is no interruption of mindfulness. I'm mindful all the way through my in-breath. It means that your mindfulness bring more concentration. When you are mindful of your in-breath, you are concentrated on your in-breath. But if you nourish that concentration, that mindfulness, all the way through your in-breath, your concentration become more powerful. So the quality of your in-breath has increased with the second exercise. There's more concentration now, and your mindfulness is more powerful now as you are aware of your in-breath from the beginning to the end. You don't have to follow the air into your body. No, it's not in terms of space. And suppose this marker represents your in-breath, and this is the beginning, and this is the end. And suppose this finger is your mind, and you begin to breathe, breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing in, I follow my in-breath all the way through. It means that I never leave my in-breath. My in-breath remains always the object of my attention, of my mindfulness. There's no interruption. So with the second exercise, the quality of your in-breath is improved, more concentration, you are more mindful. And if you are more mindful, more concentrated, the joy can grow bigger and the peace can grow bigger. Because peace is something that can manifest during your in-breath, your out-breath. In the beginning, your in-breath, your out-breath might not be very peaceful. That is always true for beginners. But mindfulness is wonderful. You don't need to try to make your in-breath more peaceful. You just pay attention to it, and after a while, it becomes peaceful by itself. Breathing in, I notice that my in-breath has become deeper, more harmonious, slower. And any one of us who has tried mindful breathing know that. As we continue to breathe in and out mindfully, the quality of our in-breath and out-breath will be improved. It is deeper, slower, more harmonious. It means the element of peace has manifested in our in-breath and out-breath. It is like the sunshine embracing the vegetation. Being embraced by the sunshine, the vegetation can grow. The chlorophyll is made. So your in-breath is embraced by your mindfulness. And being embraced by mindfulness, your in-breath and out-breath become deeper, slower, more peaceful by itself. You don't have to try to make it more peaceful, longer, or deeper at all. Something that happens naturally. The second thing we get in touch with is our body. And that is the object of the third exercise of mindful breathing. I'm breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. This reunion, happy reunion between mind and body, thanks to your breath. Your respiration, your breathing is a link, is a bridge linking body and mind. As soon as you pay attention to your breathing, your mind and your body naturally come together. And what we get is the oneness of body and mind. That's the fruit of the practice. It's very easy to obtain the oneness of body and mind, just with one mindful breathing in. So the third exercise proposed by the Buddha is to recognize the presence of your body. Breathing in, I am aware of my whole body. And the energy of mindfulness is there to recognize and embrace your body. Here is my body. And as you are aware of your body, as you are with your body, you might notice that there is not enough peace in your body, that there is tension, stress, pain that make your body not so peaceful. So the fourth exercise proposed by the Buddha is to help you to release the tension, the pain in your body. Breathing in, I release the tension in my body. And that's what you do when you sit down. And if you can sit and breathe like that, well, you can sit down like a Buddha, peacefully. And sitting become a joy. And your sitting meditation is not a hard labor. It is a joy. It is an art. The art of mindful breathing, the art of mindful sitting, to make life real, possible. And in this time, where people do not have enough time to do what they want to do, always very busy, always having to meet a deadline, to have the time to sit and to enjoy your in-breath and out-breath is a luxury. And we can afford to have the time to do so in the morning, in the evening, and whenever we want to be there peacefully. So sitting in peace means, while sitting, you don't strive, you don't fight, you don't force your body to do something, you allow your body to be relaxed. You allow all the muscles on your face to be released. You can smile lightly in order to release tension on your face. You can release the tension in your shoulder. And like that, you can sit 45 minutes, 1 hour. And you enjoy just breathing and sitting. And sitting like that is very nourishing and healing. And if you sit with your Sangha 100%, 200%, the power, the quality of energy is powerful. That quality of energy will penetrate into our body, our mind, supporting us. And it can help a lot with healing, transformation. And then, after having got in touch with our breath, our body, we learn to get in touch with our feelings and emotions. Because there may be a painful feeling in us, or a painful emotion in us that does not allow us to feel the peace. So peace means the absence of that painful feeling, that painful emotion. When there is jealousy, when there is anger, when there is despair, you are not so peaceful. Because these mental formations are like the fire burning us. There's no peace. And as a practitioner, when we breathe in, we should be able to recognize the presence of that painful feeling or emotions. And we do exactly like we have done with our body. Breathing in, I'm aware of the painful feeling in me. You don't try to fight your painful feeling. It's like when you get in touch with your body, although your body has a lot of stress and tension, you don't fight your body. You don't suppress your body. You embrace your body, you recognize and embrace your body tenderly, and you help your body to release the tension. No fighting, just embracing, releasing. The same thing is true with a painful feeling. You don't try to cover it up. That's what many of us try to do when we have a painful feeling. Try to cover it up by listening to music, by eating something, by taking the car to go out. We try to suppress it, cover it up. As a practitioner, you don't do that. When you breathe in, you have an opportunity to recognize the pain in yourself. And you say, "Hello, good morning, my little pain. I know you are there. I will take care of you." And with your mindful breathing, you generate the energy of mindfulness, and you recognize that feeling. And you embrace that feeling tenderly, with a lot of compassion, because that feeling, that pain is you. You should not do violence to yourself. And it is just like with your breath or your body. When mindfulness is there, recognizing and embracing, there will be a release of tension. There will be a relief. So if you know, if we know how to recognize and embrace our pain, our sorrow, and then we'll get a relief. It's like the practice of releasing the tension in our body. Breathing in, I allow my body to release the tension. The same thing is done with your feelings, painful feelings. We embrace tenderly our painful feeling with mindful breathing. And after a while, we get a relief. And we suffer less. More peace is possible. Although the pain is already there, but because it is accepted, and because we are getting some relief, peace becomes something possible. And you can smile to your pain and sorrow. You don't need to wait until the pain is gone completely in order to have peace. If you know how to embrace, accept your pain, your sorrow, and if you know how to be peacefully with it, peace begins to be with you. And while sitting or walking, we can make peace possible. As a practitioner, we should know how to produce a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness. In the Buddhist tradition, there is a distinction between joy and happiness. Joy still has some kind of, so a little bit of excitement in it. And in true happiness, you are calmer, more calm. The image that is used is someone walking in a desert, very thirsty. He does not have anything to drink for a few days already. So he discovered that in front of him is an oasis. He saw trees and a pond of water. So he feels joyful because he knows that there will be shade to sit in, there will be water to drink. So that is the feeling of joy. And when he arrived and kneel down and scoop the water and drink, it's happiness. There was excitement in joy, but there is more peace in happiness. That is the Buddhist way of understanding joy and happiness. So when the practitioner practices breathing in and go home to the present moment, he or she recognizes that there are so many wonders of life that are available, that she is lucky, luckier than many other people. And she recognized many of the conditions of happiness that are available to her in the here and the now. So happiness just comes. Joy and happiness just come naturally. When you open the water tap with mindfulness, you recognize the fact that you are lucky to have the running water coming to you like that from high up on the mountain. And there's a feeling of joy when you touch the water. If you don't feel that joy during the time you get in touch with water, you are not a practitioner. As a practitioner, you should know how to nourish yourself with joy and happiness in order to go far, in order to realize what you want to realize. You should get the nourishment with joy and happiness. So brush your teeth in such a way that makes joy possible during the time of toothbrushing. That is a challenge. You have 2 minutes to brush your teeth. Don't try to do quickly and not to finish it with it. Do it relaxingly, joyfully. You have a brush. You have the toothpaste. You have 2 minutes. Why don't you enjoy it? Challenge yourself. And if you know how to enjoy the 2 minutes of toothbrushing, and then you'll be able to enjoy the moment when you sit down and hold a cup of tea. Holding a cup of tea, you don't think of the next thing to do. You are entirely with a cup of tea. Cup of steaming tea. And joy, happiness should be possible. As a practitioner, you should be happy while drinking your tea. That is a challenge. And happiness is possible, joy is possible. And that is thanks to mindfulness. When you are mindful, you recognize that you are lucky. You are luckier than many people. And there are plenty of conditions for you to be happy right here and right now. And therefore, it's not hard at all for a practitioner to bring in a moment of joy and happiness. When you come to the meditation hall, and you see the meditation hall. See, well, there is a place for you to practice sitting meditation. And this is a moment of happiness. When you sit down, using your gata, your mindful breathing in and out, you say, this is a moment of happiness. A happy moment is always available when you practice mindfulness. And that is why we can say that mindfulness is a source of happiness. A source of joy. And they don't sell it in the marketplace. You have to produce it, mindfulness. As a practitioner, you produce mindfulness. A practice center like Plumbridge is a place where you produce mindfulness, concentration, and you will produce understanding and compassion. There was a rich landlord. It was early spring, so he brought his people out in order to plow the land. He had 1,000 acres of land. And he brought out 500 farmers and 500 cows in order to pull the plow, ready to plow the land for the new season. And he saw the Buddha and a few dozens of monks passing by. And the gentleman met the Buddha, and he said, "You monks, you don't do anything. We farmers, we grow, we work the land, we grow the crop, we harvest and we eat. But you don't do anything, and yet you eat." Because each monk is holding a bowl, yeah, on arm round. And in the Indian society, there is a tacit agreement that a monk does not need to earn a living. A monk should only practice. And the lay people, they can share some food. You don't have to think of food. You think only of your practice. We need you to practice for us. So there is a kind of division of labor between lay people and monks. And the monks are not supposed to earn a living. No, they are supposed to practice. And of course, when you become a monk, you lay down all the burden. You don't need to do anything else. You don't have to raise a family. You don't have to follow to do a job. You only need to practice. And you have to practice well. You practice not only for yourself, you practice for us. Every morning you went into the village with your bowl. In order to get in touch with the people, you can help giving some teaching. And you go on arm round and you eat whatever they give to you. A sweet potatoes, a little bit of rice, some curry, anything. You don't care. Whatever they give, you eat. And if they don't give, you can go one day or 2 days without food. It's okay. So you don't worry. But the lay people never let the monks die because of hunger. But that rich landlord, he was challenging the Buddha and his monks. You did not do anything, and yet you consume. The Buddha, we plowed, we sowed, plant the seeds, we water, we harvest, and we eat. You don't do anything, and you eat. The Buddha said, "Yes, we do like you also. We also have the land. We also have the seeds. We also have the plow. We also have the cows. We also harvest, and we eat." And the landlord said, Where are your land? Where is your land? Where is your cows? Where is your seeds? Where is the harvest?" And the Buddha said, "The land, our land, is our mind. The mind is also our land. Mind is the land. We have to cultivate our mind. We have to work out the land. We have to pull up the wheat. We have to plow. And the plow that it uses is mindfulness. Mindfulness. And the seed we use is confidence, hope. And the cow, in order to pull the plow, is tinh tấn. Tinh tấn dịch là gì quên nữa? Diligence, our diligence. And the harvest that we get is understanding and love. Understanding and compassion. In fact, society needs ethics and spirituality. And it is the monks who have to take care of that aspect of life. We have to produce spirituality. We have to produce the values, ethical values, and so on. Without mindfulness, concentration, insight, without understanding and compassion, people will suffer a lot. And that is why the job of practitioners is to produce the crop of understanding and compassion using the practice of mindfulness, using the practice of diligence in order to bring about that kind of harvest. So when you are ordained as a monk, you don't worry anymore about earning and living. You have only one project, to practice, transform yourself, and help bring more, produce more understanding, compassion, not only for yourself alone, but for all of us. You know what to do. You have to devote all your time doing that. There's a division of labor. When you practice walking, meditation, you generate the energy of solidity and of freedom. Every step you make should be able to produce solidity and freedom. And how? To be solid means not to be pulled away. You are not pulled away by the past, by the future, by your anger, by your projects. You are fully there, fully present. Every step brings you home to the here and the now. You touch the wonders of life. You are solid. And you are free. You are free from the past, from the future, from your project, from your worries. You walk like a Buddha. So every step you make during walking meditation is to produce solidity and freedom and peace. And that is what society needs. And when we see you walking like that, you feel much better. You walk not only for yourself, but for us. And since you are able to walk like that, we know that we will be able to do like you. And that solidity, that freedom, that peace, that compassion, you cannot buy in the supermarket. You have to produce by your practice. And if you know how to produce enough of these, there will be more peace, more happiness, more stability in our society. So it needs more practitioners. It needs more monks. Real monks, real practitioners, to produce that. And coming back to what we have begun with, is that as a practitioner, we have a lot of opportunities. Every in-breath is an opportunity. Every step is an opportunity. Every time you brush your teeth, you open the water tap. Every time you sit down, is an opportunity. And as a practitioner, as a friend of the Buddha, a disciple of the Buddha, we learn how to do it, generating the energy of peace, generating the energy of mindfulness in order to bring relief, to take care of our pain, our sorrow, to generate a moment of joy, a moment of happiness for us and for the people around us. This is always possible.